Good morning. Morning. It's an honour and privilege to be here today. Amen. Whenever you're invited to share, it is an honour and privilege, and I count that a great honour today. I bring you greetings from Springvale South Church of Christ. You know, one preacher once said, it says, churches are like McDonald's franchises. Same food, different managers. It's wherever you go, you sense the presence of God, because we all worship the living God. Amen? Just different managers. Thank you. Let's open in prayer, and then I'll share the word with you this morning. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to share your word this morning. I thank you for this church and the close connection we've had over the last few years. And Lord, we ask that you will bless this congregation. I ask, Father, that you will bless your word to us today. Lord, we willingly come under the authority of your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you. What makes Jesus unique was my topic for today. H.G. Wells once listed the 10 most famous and most important men of all history, and he listed Jesus Christ as number one. Herbert George Wells, of course, was born in 1866 and died in 1946, was an English writer, best known for his work in science fiction genre. Now, on the first glance, you and I might think, that is marvelous. Jesus number one. We might think he did Jesus a favor. However, on further reflection and on further thought, we would have to differ from his analysis and how he came about listing Jesus as number one. Why should we differ? Because Jesus was not just man among men, but he was God among men. Amen? Big difference. There is no doubt, so there was nobody like him, there is nobody going to be like him ever. He, Jesus, is in a class of himself. Some anonymous author wrote this many years ago. More than 1900 years ago, there was a man born contrary to the laws of life. This man lived in poverty and was reared in obscurity. Only once did he cross the boundary of his country in which he lived. That was during his childhood. In infancy, he startled the king. In childhood, he puzzled the doctors. In manhood, he ruled the course of nature, walked on water, and hushed the sea to sleep. He never wrote a book, and yet all the libraries of all the countries in the world cannot hold the books that have been written about him. He never wrote a song, yet he has furnished a theme for more songs than all the songwriters put together from day one until day end. He never founded a college, but all the schools put together cannot boast of having many students who have endeavored to study him. Through time has spread, many years between the people of his generation and the scene of the crucifixion, yet he still lives. Amen? Herod could not destroy him, and the grave could not hold him down. He stands forth upon the highest pinnacle of heavenly glory. Proclaimed by God, acknowledged by angels, adored by saints, and feared by devils. As a living, personal Christ, our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? 1900 centuries have come and gone, and today he is still the central figure of the human race. All all the armies that ever marched, all the navies that ever sailed, all the parliaments in every country of the world that has ever sat, all the kings that have been, that have as ever reigned, all put together have not affected the life of man on this earth as much as one solitary life, Jesus Christ. I want to say this to you again. There is nobody like Jesus. There was never anybody like Jesus, and there will never be anybody like Jesus, because Jesus is divine. Because Jesus is different, Christianity is different. Christianity is not a philosophy, it is a person. You can have, or you can practice Buddhism, for instance, without Buddha. You can practice any major religion without its central figure, and it will go on. I remember growing up as a Catholic, Jesus was there, but he wasn't prominent in my life. You had Mary, and you had the saints, and you had the church's teachings. Jesus was not prominent, and I practiced my Catholic faith without Jesus, sadly. But you cannot have Christianity without Christ. Because Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship with a loving and living and a merciful God. Amen? Christianity is not a code. Christianity is not a creed. Christianity is not a cause. Christianity is not even church. Christianity is Christ Himself. You take the word Christian out of, sorry, you take the word Christ out of Christian, what is left? I-A-N. I am nothing. There's one statement in the Bible that has forever set Jesus apart and separates him from anybody else who ever lived. John 14:6 says this, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Listen to this, folks. He is the way. Without him, there is no going. He is the truth. Without him, there is no knowing. He is the life. Without him, there is no growing. My text today, as we read from Hebrews 1, 1 through to 3, states that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. The author of Hebrews tells us in just a few short verses what exactly makes Jesus so unique and so different to anybody else. And I've just got 3 points for you this morning. The first one is his supreme power. Matthew 28 and verse 18 says this, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Hebrews 1:3 says this, and now in these last days he has spoken to us through his Son. God promised everything to his Son as an inheritance, and through the Son he created this universe. Colossians 1:16 says this, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. It is because Jesus created this world that he has power over this world. When he was in this world outside of creation, Jesus demonstrated his power, proving that he was still who he was, he claimed to be. He had power over disaster. In the middle of a raging storm, he could speak to the boisterous seas and say, peace, be still. And the waters would fall down in absolute peace at his feet. Jesus had power over demons. He could say to the demon-possessed man, come out of him. And the demon would run. He had power over disease. He could say to the leper, be healed. and the spots would look for a place to flee. He had power over death. When Lazarus died, he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And the chains of death that bound Lazarus were shattered, and he came forth. He had power over sin. He could say to the worst sinner, "Your sins are forgiven." And immediately, the scarlet-like guilt would be turned into snow, white purity. As the creation, a creator of this universe, anything, there is nothing in this universe that is not under his dominion. His sustaining power, verse 3 says, the sun radiates God's glory and expresses the very character of God. And he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. When he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of majesty, God in heaven. Listen to this, folks. Jesus is the only one that can put your life together. Nothing else. So we should stop looking elsewhere or looking for something else. We are wasting our time if we look somewhere else. Jesus is the only one who can keep our life together. And I've known that from the age of 19. I thank God that I made that decision to follow him at the age of 19. Only Jesus can take the pieces of your life and mine, and no matter how shattered and how broken they might be, he can put all of that together into a complete and whole and hold them there for you and me. Amen? In these last days, God has spoken to this world in the person of Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus himself. And that's what our text says. Jesus was more than a prophet. A prophet is God's messenger, but Jesus was more than that. Jesus was God's Messiah. A prophet was God's spokesman, but Jesus is God's Son. From the prophet we hear the voice of God, but in Jesus we see the very person of God. Jesus is not God's best word to man, he's God's final word to man. After Jesus, even God has nothing else to say, because when you have said Jesus, you have said it all. Amen? In that one name, every vocabulary of God is exhausted, because after Jesus, there is nothing more to say, folks. He is the complete package. There is nothing else to say because there is nobody like Jesus, and neither there will be in the future. My second point is his sinless perfection. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." What a powerful text. Hebrews 1:3 says this, "The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very nature or the character of God, and he sustains everything by his mighty power of his command. When he has cleansed us from our sin, he has sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majesty God in heaven." The truth is simple. Jesus is God. This is one of the strongest statements about the deity of Christ in all of the Bible. In some translation it says, "Jesus is the express image of God." The word "image" in the Greek word indicates that Jesus is the perfect copy of God himself, for he is God himself. That is why Jesus could say in John 14:9, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." He could also say in John 10:36, "I and the Father are one." If you want to know God, if you want to know what God is all about or how God is like, all we have to do is turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to know what God would say If he was here on this earth today, listen to this, listen to Jesus, he would say. In him dwells all the fullness of Godhead bodily. Colossians 2:9. Have you ever said something that you wish you had never said? I put my hand up. I won't ask you to put your hand up, but we all have been there. Have you ever made a statement that you had to correct in your life? Do you realize that Jesus never withdrew or corrected any statement that he ever made? Has it ever occurred to you that Jesus never once had to apologize to anyone for anything? Jesus never apologized for anything he did, for he never made a mistake. He never apologized for anything he said, for he never made a misstatement. He never apologized anywhere, for he never made a misstep. Not once did Jesus ever confess his sins. Even though he taught his disciples to ask for forgiveness, he never asked for forgiveness. Even on the cross while he hung there dying as a common criminal, he said, "Father, forgive them." The reason he never had to confess any sins is because he had never committed any sins to confess. Do you remember on one occasion Jesus said, "I am the light of the world"? Well, scripture in 1 John 1:5 says that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. Now, do you realize, unlike water and wind, light is incorruptible? Light is not susceptible to contamination or infection. It doesn't matter if it is sunlight or moonlight, starlight or lamplight, light will always be clean. Light exposes dust and dirty particles in the air, but not one speck of dust gets onto light. Such is the Lord Jesus Christ. Though he walked and lived in a sinful and dirty world, he lived and died as one who knew no sin. My third point this morning is his sovereign position. Hebrews 1:3 says this, "Who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." Jesus holds a position that no one else will ever hold, or ever held, or will ever hold. In his power we see his dominance. In his perfection we see his dignity, but in his position we see his dominion. He is the recipient of all things. Verse 3 tells us thus, "Had in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things." The world was not only made by Jesus, it was made for him. Romans 11:36 says this, "For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom the glory lives on forever and ever." Jesus holds the title deed to all the earth. It was made by him and it was made for him. That's why the Bible speaks of stewardship instead of ownership. You may not realize this, but everything you own and everything I own is given to us on a loan from God to use it as wise stewards, because Jesus is ultimate our landlord. Now, you and I are a part of God's family. That's what scripture says. And we should rejoice that Jesus is our heir of all things, because Romans 8:17 tells us this, "Children, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ." That means When I take the Lord Jesus, I get everything. You get everything. Everything that belongs to Christ will belong to us. So that's what this text tells us. Amen? He is our Redeemer. Verse 3 says, by himself he purged our sins. It was the Lord Jesus who through his shed blood cleansed us from all our sins. For he did this by himself. After he purged our sins, we are told he sat down. Now this is quite interesting. It's not a coincidence that this word sat down is there in text. Now you know in the Old Testament, we are told that the priest was never to sit down. There was no stool or chair in the tabernacle because their job was never finished. There was no chair in the tabernacle for the priest to sit down. Their work had to be done over and over and over again. But you see, Jesus was the perfect priest. He offered the perfect sacrifice because his sacrifice was perfect and acceptable to God. It was also permanent, never needing to be repeated again. He did it once and for all. Hebrews 7:26 and 27 says this, for such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, and undefiled, separated from sinners and made higher than the heavens. Amen. So there you have it in the short text. I hope you got blessed with that this morning. Amen. I'm going to call, I think we're going to sing a song now.